Tom Gazzola, pre- and post-game host here on TSN 1260. He'll be on at 7 o'clock later on tonight. Oilers setting up against the Los Angeles Kings. Tommy, who is your MOP if you were voting?
First of all, thanks for that visual with Strutty and Riders on these. I was giggling while you were describing that. And that's just a horrible choice, fashion-wise, Strutty. As much as I love you, buddy, you can't do that to yourself. I really like Brandon Banks for this one. And listen, I think it was the right move to not include Andrew Harris out of Winnipeg after what happened. I know he paid the price. He got suspended and all that. But he didn't follow the rules. Unknowingly, whatever. So it comes down to Fajardo and Banks. And listen, Banks has been an impact player in this league for a long time. And this year, he basically led all receiving categories. He was an offensive dynamo for this Ticats team, which was absolutely dominant all season long. He did it with a rookie or a young quarterback, not rookie quarterback, in Dane Evans, who stepped in for Jeremiah Mazzoli. So his production didn't take a hit. So for me, Greg and Strutty, I'm going with Brandon Banks, and Speedy V walks away as the MOP this season.
Let's shift over to the, since I don't agree with you, let's shift over to the empty orders. Maybe we can find some common ground. You know, Larson back in the lineup tonight. And, you know, quite frankly, he really hasn't played all year. What element can he bring to a team that is going well so far this year?
Well, Strud, that's a good point. Like, he's played a full game and all the preseason and training camp, and he did it, you know, fine. He's a veteran player, so I know training camp isn't exactly the most exciting and thrilling time for veteran guys, but he looked good in training camp, and he was an absolute beast in that first game against Vancouver. So I know that it's going to take some time for him to get back to the Adam Larson that we come to expect on a daily basis, night in, night out, around the National Hockey League. And I like the strategy that Dave Tippett's taken by putting him in with Chris Russell, kind of ease him back into the grind, if you will. But I think talking to a lot of the guys around the room is they love Adam Larson. Like, he's a big part of that team's cultural fabric, let's call it. And just having him on the bench and playing and being there on the back end, I think will give this team a little bit of a emotional boost. And then, you know, in time, as he continues to find his strides on the ice, just the level that this defense has brought to the table this year, which has been excellent, will rise a little bit. It'll get a bit better with Larson in there. And this just goes to show you the depth that the Oilers all of a sudden have proven that they do possess on the back end, especially with Matt Benning coming out, that this is a good situation. And so I'm curious to see how Larson handles this, but he's a veteran, and I think he'll be okay.
Tom Gazzola joins us, the Gazzola Chronicles. The LA Kings special teams are just downright pathetic right now. They're 29th on the power play at 10%. They're dead last at 72% on the penalty kill, reminiscent of the Oilers' penalty kill for the last few seasons. And, you know, the Oilers are first and third in the penalty kill. They got the best overall special teams in the NHL when you combine their power play with their penalty kill. Like, now, I know that there's not a lot of special team minutes in games for the Oilers. You might get three power plays or whatever, but that to me could be the easy difference tonight for the Edmonton Oilers. When your power play is rolling to the level that they are, like, this should almost be a guaranteed minimum one of three night on the power play.
Yep. And like, this has all the signs of a game that the Oilers outright should win. And here's the scary thing, boys, is like, every time that we've had this type of conversation or this storyline has come up, the Oilers to this point this season have found a way to kind of falter, or they make it a closer game than we expect. But if the Oilers can, you know, just skate and force LA to take stick infraction penalties or holding penalties, and if the Oilers can have possession in the offensive zone and hang on to the puck and keep it away from the Kings, and all of a sudden, you know, they hang on to the puck for 20 seconds and someone from the Kings blue line takes a holding penalty or whatever, you get onto that power play and you go. You let McDavid, Draisaitl, and James Neal and Klefbom do their thing. Jump on them early. Play play this game like you did against San Jose. Like, they were hungry against the Sharks. And even though this is a lesser opponent, clearly, Greggs, as you pointed out, especially when it comes to the special teams aspect of the game, don't think of it like that. Just take the same mentality into this. And then when you do get onto the power play, take advantage. And then when you have a PK, don't let up. Play it like you're playing the Sharks. Whatever. It doesn't matter. You got to play this game like you're here to win, because these are still valuable 2 points in the Pacific Division.
Talking with Tom Gazzola for Tiny Tom's Tidy Tidings. You hear him daily here on the Greger Show. Gazzola, when you look at that bottom six, we've been beating it up. This conversation since, quite frankly, probably week 2 or 3 this season. Seems like they're starting to get some traction out there. Do you feel that they're now starting to deliver on the offense as well as trying to some forecheck time in the offensive zone?
Yeah, and it is fair to say that they're starting to get some points. I mean, you got 3 goals in the last 2 games from Jujhar Khaira. He's taken his fair share of heat, and I think rightly so. Like we gave them, I think I'm saying we collectively as the media, we gave them some leeway. We, like you said, Struddy, we gave them a couple of weeks, and when things weren't clicking offensively for the bottom six, no matter which combination of guys Dave Tippett tried to use, we brought it up. And this team's engine in Draisaitl and McDavid, to a certain extent, Cassian and James Neal and Nugent Hopkins were able to kind of overshadow the lack of offensive production from that bottom six. But now, even Riley Sheahan picked up a point last game. You have to think it's inevitable that Josh Archibald will finally start to get things going. And they've continued throughout the start of the season in the bottom six to get that zone time. And now, finally, they're starting to create offensively. And now it's finally a month, almost 2 months into the season, it's coming to fruition. They got to keep it going, Strud, but it's a welcome relief, I think, collectively. If you ask Oilers fans what they think of the bottom six situation, to see Jujhar finally get on the board a couple of times here. And even like Marcus Granlund, I know we called him out. Apparently, Greger, you called that he would score the first game the other night. And there he is, putting home a nice pass by Oscar Klefbom. So this is a welcome surprise, finally, that the Oilers bottom six gets going.
Yeah, and it'll have to continue. Obviously, I don't expect them to score 2 goals every game like they have for the last 2 games, but it's an added bonus for sure for the Edmonton Oilers. Tom, quickly switching gears to the Toronto Maple Leafs. Did you happen to listen to any of the press conference today between Shanahan and Dubas? And, they made it clear, like, hey, first thing is, and Strutty talked about it, is they want the players to have fun again. That seemed to be the one message, that there was a big lack of enjoyment going on. And losing will do that to any organization, I would think. But what do you make of this situation? Do you think that the coaching change is going to make a big difference in the final 3 quarters of the season for the Toronto Maple Leafs?
Greg's, I mean, they've got a ton of time to turn it around, and they're still kind of within striking distance, so they're not out of it. The timing, probably if they felt that with Babcock it wasn't going to go anywhere, and this was a team that his message wasn't getting through to them anymore, and whatever he tried wasn't effective, then fine, move on from him. And I listened to Kyle Dubas, because I heard Shanahan yesterday, I listened to them today. And I like the approach and the reasoning, and they're trying to do whatever they can, because right now with this Maple Leafs team and the guys that they have, and I know their cap situation's an interesting one like a lot of teams, but they need to win now, and they feel that with the iron being hot, they have to strike. This is their window. I'm really curious to see, like you pointed out yesterday, 2 guys in Dubas and in Keefe now that aren't even 40 years old yet. This is the new school train of thought, and it's gotten to the National Hockey League level. This is the first real duo that are kind of the new next generation of coach/GM. And let's see if it resonates with a relatively young team with some absolute phenomenal weapons. So I'm okay with it. And I know, with Babcock, I've heard the horror stories about him. My cousin played for him in Spokane, and he didn't have a lot of great things to say about him back then. And that kind of messaging and being ridden that way by a certain coach, it can grow tiresome. And maybe it's part of the new generation of hockey player and athlete as well. So I think it's like an experiment with this new generation of coach and GM to see where this will go. If it does resonate and does resuscitate this team's season, only time will tell, but we'll see. I like the messaging from Dubas, and he owned up to it. He met the media today, and I like what he said. He's very articulate. He's a thoughtful and smart guy. Let's see if what he's done here pans out.
Yeah, it's a great message he's delivered, and every coach is gonna. He's had this speech planned out since he became the coach of the Marlies. It was very a bad secret that this guy was gonna take the spot over, but now he's in there and he's gonna try to rekindle the spirit of this group. And I wonder if there's no more important player to get going on that team than the guy that they moved out for Nazem Kadri, and that's Tyson Barry. He's got 7 assists. Plus minus isn't quite where probably wants to be. Tyson Barry. We don't know what goes. I think they got to find a way to get this guy ignited because you know what he can do offensively. And is there a guy that you see more important for the group, or am I off base thinking this is one of the guys they really got to get firing all cylinders right away?
That he's been a surprise to me. Like, I thought he would just seamlessly slide in on that blue line strut and just add to the firepower that this team does possess. When these guys are humming, they're excellent. And they have Morgan Riley back there already. I know that. I know they lost Gardner. So I thought that was a savvy move to bring in Barry and get something for Kadri. Now, I know a lot of people are saying the Kadri deal for Barry, like that's been part of the killer and hampered this team's season. But the fact of the matter is they have guys that are kind of rising up and forcing the older guys out. And I think that with Barry, like, he should be better than a 7-assist guy through 23 games. He, to me, has been, I don't know if all-star caliber is the proper way to describe him, but consistently one of the stars of the Colorado Avalanche, especially on a solid back end. I thought that Colorado would want to hold on to him for him to help groom Cale Makar, but they thought that they needed to make a move too. Barry's probably one of the guys you look at in circle and go, well, why isn't he having such a good year? Maybe now he feels like with Keith coming in, he'll have an opportunity to actually have some say and dictate where he wants to be on that back end and how he can contribute, and it'll work to his advantage. But he's definitely one of the guys you look at and go, geez, that's unacceptable when it comes to a guy like him, because he's certainly capable of way better.
Tommy, have yourself a good evening. We will chat with you tomorrow. And Oiler fans, or either tonight's one of those games if the Oilers lose, Oiler Nation will be fired up. We will see what happens. Appreciate your time.
Have fun, boys.